Good evening. Good to see you all. I'm glad you guys are here. It is not a peculiar thing to me, even that honestly, the only switch in all of this is that Miss Karen is here tonight instead of Miss Roberta. So we swapped Miss Roberta for Miss Karen this evening. And the rest of you are the ones that were here last Sunday night, whenever Brother Jonathan went through and taught about the office of the deacon. And it was not a peculiar thing to me that God has had me studying the office of the pastorate. And this evening, that's exactly where we're going to go. And it's also not a peculiar thing to me that three of our five pulpit committees are here this evening. As I did this study, and this was long before even Brother Jonathan had preached or had taught last Sunday, I figured that if I am going to put myself as a nominee for the pastorate, I should probably know what the pastor does. But that is not in light of why I believe the Lord has us here this evening. It is pretty simple for me. We need to know. We're getting ready to move into a season of our church to where we need to know what a pastor is, what a pastor does, and what a pastor does not do. There needs to be a refresher course. And yes, we have been taught these things, and yes, we have scripture. But as we move forward as a church, we need to have a surety and what Scripture says, in confidence in what Scripture says, as we go through this election and nomination process. So this is outside of me. I hope you know that. I was talking to Brother Jonathan this morning, and he was like, you know, it wasn't even an awkward thing to stand up and to teach. It's the Word of God. So this is outside of me. So I hope you all understand that this is not me trying to convince you one way or another. This is me teaching out of the Word of God what God's Word says. So as we move forward, we know exactly who we are to nominate and exactly who should fill this pulpit. There are certain non-negotiables in this and things that we need to know before we move forward. That's why, again, it's not a peculiar thing that three out of our five are here. It's also not a peculiar thing that as Brother Jonathan, that was laid on his heart, this has been laid on mine. So we're going to get into God's Word. This is going to be maybe a little different than what you guys are used to with me. I am turning a new leaf. No, I'm teasing. But this is going to be a little more teaching rather than preaching. So I hope you guys brought your notebooks. I hope you, if you're much like me, I was hardly ever a note taker. It was one of those things that if I was taking notes, I wasn't listening very well. And I needed to listen. I retained better whenever I was listening and focusing on what was being said. So much so that, you know, I've been hit in the head quite a bit because of football, because of other things, and because of just stupidity as a young man. But whenever I was in school, it was very easy for me, as the teacher's taking notes on the board, to look and to watch as he's taking notes. And truly, my recollection oftentimes during a test was me picturing back to the chalkboard where he had written the answer, and that's how I got the answer. It was not because of where I wrote my notes. It wasn't any of those things. Never mind. Let's get into this. We're going to be in a couple of different places, a couple of different portions of Scripture. So let's start first in the first epistle of Timothy. First epistle of Timothy. And we're going to look at the qualifications of an elder, or a pastor, or an overseer. There's a couple of different words, a couple of different titles given to this position, this office of the elder, or the pastor. Chapter number 3, starting in verse number 1. So 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, as we open your word and as we discern it and as we divide it, Lord, I pray that you would help me to not give opinion, not give anything outside of just the word of God, that I can stand on the authority of the word of God as I'm teaching. Lord, that it's not the opinion of man, but it is the inspired, written word of God. Lord, I pray you would help us. Help us to gain more understanding than what we even have now, that we would be able to discern the next few months and what you would have us to do. We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Timothy 3:1 through verses 7. So if you guys want to reference those sometime in the future as we're getting ready and progressing through this, that is a great reference right there. So 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7. And then we'll be over in the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1, and we'll start in verse number 4, just because there's a reason why the Apostle Paul appointed Titus to this position. He was one that helped grow and multiply the church, but also he's given him instruction because he knows that there needs to be men that are appointed into these positions. So verse number 4, it says, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Sounds familiar, right? But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So there's another reference for you guys, Titus chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Verses 4 through 9. And then Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so with all of that scripture, we have a pretty good springboard in which we can now go into what is the office of the pastor, or the elder, or an overseer. Brother Jonathan, actually, he inspired me a little bit in the way that he outlined the teaching last Sunday, which is he gave us what a deacon is, what a deacon is not, what the expectation of a deacon is. And as I started going through this study, I believe it was an incredible outline in which we can then use for the office of the pastor. So tonight, what we're going to go through is we're going to go through what a pastor is, biblical definition of what a pastor is. We're going to see what a pastor does. We're going to see what a pastor does not do. We're going to see the qualifications or requirements of a pastor. And then we're going to see the church's expectation of the pastor. And then finally, the biblical warning and encouragement to the pastorate. So that is your 5 points, 6 points. I forget which one that was as we move forward tonight. So first, let's define what a pastor is. You know, traditionally we see that a pastor is the one that stands behind the pulpit. Pastor is the one that it has oversight over the church, of the body of Christ, the one that in the majority of the time is preaching doctrine and the word of God to the body. That's what our traditional outlook of a pastor is, and rightfully so. That word pastor comes from the Greek poimen, or poimen, which is meaning of shepherd. So we see this in a couple of different places. I believe this word, this Greek word, that poimen, is actually found in 18 different places from Old Testament to New Testament. And that word can quite literally be translated to shepherd. So whenever Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, he's using this word right here. He's using this word poimen. Again, I don't know how to necessarily pronounce that. This is a guesstimate. So if anyone is a Greek scholar, please let me know, because I would love to actually know. But he is using this word as shepherd. Now, where we find the translation to pastor is actually here in Ephesians 4:11, where it says that God has appointed some, and he says pastors and teachers. That word that is used for pastor there is this translation of the Greek poimen. So it is the same word. And as we see out throughout, especially the New Testament, that word in place of overseer, in place of pastor, in place of elder, in place of shepherd. That is that word poimen. Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. What a pastor is a pastor is a shepherd of souls. He shepherds the body of Christ. That there needs to be a conviction upon his life that he is responsible for the souls of the body. Now, obviously, Jesus, as the good shepherd, is the one that has ultimate oversight. And that's something that maybe I could prerequisite, but you guys already know. And you understand that the pastor is not the ruling hierarchy within the church. Jesus is. Jesus is the one that rules the body ultimately, but God has appointed a man to be an overseer of that body. And there is much responsibility that comes whenever you are in the pastorate, because you are a shepherd of souls. You are to rebuke, you are to reprove, you are to guide as you see the body come out of line. He is to be a teacher of doctrine. So he needs to know doctrine. He is an overseer of the local church. A pastor, a bishop, or an elder as described in Scripture is the same office. So anytime you see those three words together, anytime you see those three words are together as meaning essentially the same thing, that poimen. A pastor is essentially the work of the ministry. You can put, whenever you see that word pastor, it is someone who is the overseer of the body of Christ. That is the ministry of the pastor. An elder would describe essentially the maturity of that man. And then a bishop and overseer, you can equate that to the authority and responsibility of the office. So whenever you see those three words, you can associate those three words to the work, the maturity, and then the authority and responsibility given to that position and that office. Because in Acts 20:28, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That is the responsibility of the pastorate, is to feed the word of God, that he is to be an overseer on what the flock gets fed. That is his responsibility, to seek the Lord for what it is that the flock needs fed. So point number one is that he feeds the flock with the word of God. This is what a pastor does. What a pastor does is he feeds the flock with the word of God. So the primary duty of a pastor is not administration. It's not holding events or conducting events. And listen, it's not even counseling. The primary duty of the pastor is feeding. He is to feed the flock. And we saw that in the portion of Scripture in Acts that Brother Jonathan taught out of last week. There is a reason why they appointed deacons. There is a reason why there is a body of Christ. The pastor is to feed the body. He is to be a man of prayer. He is to be a man of fasting. He is to be a man of the Word of God. And he is to feed the body. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors," listen, "according to mine heart." Understand this. This is not a decision ultimately made by the church. This is not a decision made by man. We need to be very careful with this. We are to appoint a man according to God's heart. We are to diligently seek the Lord on these things. "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding." 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul admonishes Timothy, says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." What does this include? It includes expository preaching. The man of God that is feeding the flock must know the word of God. He must know sound doctrine. He must be willing and able to reprove when necessary. And there needs to be clear teaching of the Word of God. It's not about an entertainment. It's not about him and his opinion. It needs to be a clear teaching of the Word of God. Because a pastor is accountable for what the flock is fed. There is a greater accountability to the office of the pastorate. And there should be. There should be a very high standard for whoever would stand behind this pulpit. Men are not perfect. Men will fail. But a man of God should be seeking the Lord in His Word. Secondly, he's a shepherd that watches for the soul. He watches after the flock. He is responsible to watch over the spiritual condition of the body. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account." The man of God, the pastorate, will give an account for the flock of God that God gives them stewardship. This includes that we're warning against false doctrine. We're protecting the flock from wolves. And we're guarding unity and holiness. Third, he is to lead by example. The conduct of his life should match the message that's being preached. A pastor does not merely speak truth, but he must live it. 1 Peter 5:2-3, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you." It goes on to say, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." The Apostle Paul said it this way, "Follow me as I follow Christ." The pastor's life should model faithfulness, should model humility, should model integrity, should model family order, and should model holiness. He's to be an example. These are drawn from that portion of Scripture there in 1 Timothy and then out of Titus. He is to teach and establish doctrine. A pastor must be doctrinally grounded and able to teach the truth clearly. He has to know the Word of God, and he must know doctrine. Titus 1:9 said, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That portion of scripture goes on to say there's going to be a lot of gainsayers. So he needs to be able to rightly divide the word of God to give doctrine to even the gainsayers. He must know scripture deeply. He must be able to defend truth biblically. And he must be able to correct error patiently. There's a lot that takes place in the ministry of the pastor, the office of the pastor. Many people that have either misunderstanding or even misconception about what the Word of God says. And if the man of God is direct and frank and says, nope, this is what the Word of God says, you either take it or you leave it. There are going to be instances for that. But the man of God needs to be able to correct doctrine patiently. Fifth, he prays and ministers spiritually. The pastor needs to be a man of prayer. Must be a man of prayer. Acts 6:4, where brother was last Sunday, says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We could almost stop right there and say that fulfills the office of the pastorate. That they are to be given to prayer in the ministering of the Word of God. Prayer is not optional. It's essential to spiritual leadership. The pastor must walk in the Spirit continually. This is an opinion. The pastor is not to give his own ideas and the sense of wisdom and leadership. It is to be founded on the Word of God, and it is to be spiritually discerned and spiritually led. So that was what a pastor does. Let's get into what a pastor does not do. And this may actually give you some insight as you move forward. A pastor is not a CEO or an entertainer. The church is not a business. Though we conduct business, the church is not a business. And the pulpit is not a stage. This is not for entertainment. There should be a seriousness whenever someone stands behind this pulpit. A soberness, knowing that there is greater condemnation for the man that stands behind this pulpit. 1 Corinthians 1:17, the end of that verse says, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The pastor is not called to build a brand. I do love the RBC with the heart. I think that reflects greatly who we are as a church. That we love and serve Christ and we love and serve others. But if we build solely upon that brand, it's of none effect. We aren't here to entertain crowds. Like I said this morning, that we could have 10,000 people and we could blow the walls out of this sanctuary. But there is something about the depth of the Christian life and what a pastor is to do and his responsibility in growing the flock. We're not to entertain crowds. We're not there not to preach opinions. They are not to compete with culture. We don't move forward as the world moves forward. Second, a pastor is not a lord over the church. Jesus is. A pastor has authority and should have reverence because of the position, the office. But he's not a tyrant. He's not a totalitarian. He is a leader by example. He does not dominate consciences. He does not replace Christ's authority. And he does not rule by fear or manipulation. Because Christ is the head of the church, not the pastor. Third, pastor is not responsible for every task. Understand me. We have been extremely fortunate in this church. You got to see and experience something that many churches do not. And I believe that's a good thing. Again, the pastor is to set an example. But a pastor is not responsible for every task. This is me interjecting a little opinion here. Because it burns them out. It's very difficult to do everything. The pastor is to equip others to serve. Ephesians 4:12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He's not meant to do all ministry himself. He's certainly not meant to replace personal responsibility of the believer. Your devotion and your dedication is your devotion and your dedication. If the only time you open the Word of God is whenever you come here to hear the pastor preach, that is not his responsibility. Your feeding should come on Monday through Saturday. Sunday, you come to get full. And he is not to be everything to everyone. There is a reason they appointed deacons. Fourth and last of what a pastor is not, is a pastor is not called to please men. Faithfulness matters more than popularity. The truth of God's word is not popular. But a pastor must preach the word of God. Galatians 1:10 says, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Because truth will offend, but it must be preached. Let's get into the requirements and qualifications. This is where the rubber hits the road. Because these things are non-negotiable. These things must be in place as we move forward. We've already read it there in 1 Timothy 3:1-7. And then Titus 1:4-9 or 5-9. The key requirements of the pastorate is that he is to be blameless. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be those that accuse. It's not what this means. What this means is that though they accuse, he is blameless. He is to be a husband of one wife. He is to be sober. He is to be vigilant. He is to be self-controlled. He is to be able to teach. He's not to be greedy or violent. He rules his own house well. And he has a good testimony with those that are without. Those that are outside of the church, he has a good testimony. These things are non-negotiable. So what's the church's expectation of the pastorate? The church should expect faithful preaching of Scripture. The church should expect sound doctrine, spiritual leadership, godly character, and a consistency between his life and his message. What the church should not expect is a perfect man. They shouldn't expect him to align with them politically. They should not expect entertainment. We do not measure success based off of worldly metrics. And we should not expect that man to replace our personal devotion. Lastly, the final biblical warning and encouragement. Comes from James 3:1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The office of the pastor is highly accountable to God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The success of the pastor isn't measured by numbers, but by a faithfulness to Christ and his word. I'll end with this. I've had a couple people. One was Brother Tony Riggins Sr. I remember standing in the kitchen back there after one of our fellowships. And we know that Brother Riggins was successful in the HVAC industry. He built a very successful business that was able to even be sold after his passing. Those things are incredible achievements according to worldly standards. But I asked him, because God was still dealing with my heart about the ministry and about preaching. So I went up to him and I approached him and I said, Brother, how do you know that you were called to preach? And he said, because I couldn't do anything else. The pastor is to be a man that cannot do anything else. Though we will probably find a pastor that is bivocational. Those things should merely only be a means. The pastor should be a man that can only preach. And then secondly, I heard actually from a brother just a couple of weeks ago, a brother that is a faithful brother, faithful friend of mine down in Texas. And he said that somebody told him once that if you can do anything else, do it. If you can do anything else, do it. So as we move forward looking to fill the office of the pastorate, I hope this is a help to you all. I hope that you understand as we discern and as we ask the Lord for wisdom moving forward, that these standards would be standards that are in place for this church. That these would be things that are non-negotiable.